I'm Srini Rao, and this is the Unmistakable Creative Podcast, where you get a window into the stories and insights of the most innovative and creative minds who've started movements, built thriving businesses, written best-selling books, and created insanely interesting art. For more, check out our 500-episode archive at unmistakablecreative.com. All right, everybody, this is Srini, the host of the Unmistakable Creative, if that isn't completely obvious. As you heard me mention on the Wednesday episode, we're doing a behind-the-scenes episode to tell you a little bit about a big project that we have launched in partnership with our friends at Soul Pancake called Unmistakable Creative Shorts, an animated series that is actually based on our interviews. And the first episode actually just aired on Monday of this week. So we wanted to do a bit of a dive and show you kind of, you know, how that all came together. But we wanted to do a couple of other things. As many of you have heard me reference, I work with a team and one person in particular very closely, Brian Cohn, who is my CEO and business partner. And we figured it was about time that you actually heard from him. So Brian is actually here in the flesh. Well, not in the flesh, in the voice. So he is a real person. You're no longer this enigma. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? I want to start with kind of how our friendship came together and how our partnership sort of emerged, because I think there's some pretty valuable lessons in how to build relationships there that people could, you know, really benefit from.
Sure. Well, I got started, I first learned about you through your book, The Art of Being Unmistakable, and Dave Vanderveen, who is going to be our guest on, our featured guest on Monday's episode on Soul Pancake, which we'll talk about a little bit later, he had shared something on social media that said, if you like Seth Godin and surfing, watch this little clip. And it was a clip of you talking on Glenn Beck about The Art of Being Unmistakable. Mm-hmm. And being a surfer and loving to learn, I got your book and saw at the end of it that you put your email address in. And I thought, wow, why not try to connect with Srini? I love, you know, meeting new brilliant people. So I ended up shooting you an email and asked you if you wanted to go surfing. And that's how we ended up first meeting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I think I had written in a Facebook post somewhere. I said, you know, one of the easiest ways to get me to go and do anything or to come and meet anybody is to suggest going and surfing together. And I said the guaranteed way that, you know, you can assure that I won't be interested or show up is to invite me to go play golf with.
I think that's true for both of us.
Yeah. Well, that's because I suck at golf, and it just brings back a memory of a boss that I hated.
So true.
So. Unless there's a lot of alcohol involved, I don't think I'd have any interest in playing golf. And if there's that much alcohol involved, I don't think the ball is going anywhere near the hole.
All right, start it here first. If you want to hang out with Serena Golf Course, you got to do.
No, but I think the sort of bigger lesson is really interesting in that you found common ground with me, and it was really easy for me to say yes. You didn't make it difficult for me to want to say yes, because it was kind of like, yeah, I would do that anyways. Even if you weren't going to be there, I would have been there.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've learned about networking is trying to catch up with somebody in their place of business, especially someone who's in demand or on the rise or already, you know, somewhat really, you know, like I said, in high demand. Yeah, catching up with them in the office is rather difficult to do. So if you find where they, you know, seek pleasure, where they recreate their energy, they're a surfer, they're a golfer, they like to play tennis. If you, you know, try to interact with them in that type of a setting, you're a lot more likely to, you know, be able to get some face time with them. So that's what I try to do with you. Plus, I love to surf.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing, you know, we, you know, for those of you who don't know, this is take two of this episode because our audio was crap on the first one. But you mentioned something earlier. You said, you know, in that setting, we're all equal, right? Like it kind of takes the whole pedestal of anything. It's kind of like, oh, you know, you wrote a book. It's like, yeah, so what? We're both about to get our ass handed to us by a wave right now.
We're both changing under a beach towel.
Yeah, exactly.
Walking down to the ocean. And it was a really terrible surf day, which maybe was great for us to actually get to know each other, because that's another really funny thing about surfing is you can build tight relationships quickly because you see where people are at in a really, sometimes really adverse situations. So we got a chance to hang out and be on a really equal playing field and see, we responded in the rain in these 7-foot monster wall waves. And I think we learned a lot about each other that day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we went and ate a big meal at Carl's Jr.
Classic.
Yeah, we each caught one wave in about a 4.5-hour surf session.
Yeah. Well, and to us, I think both of us share this common thread of grit. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny that that was our first interaction together, because, you know, we've had to use a lot of grit with building the momentum that we've got right now. And grit is a common theme. We'll probably continue to produce content around the topic of grit. And our very first time together, I think, almost set the tone for how we're going to work together in the future.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you've played sort of an instrumental role, I think, in navigating a situation that required a lot of grit. You know, I'd mentioned, amazingly enough, on the episode with El Luna, who is the first animated short, that in November of this last year, of 2014, we'd reached such a point of challenges that I was really contemplating the possibility of shutting down the show in its entirety and just giving up. And I mean, you helped me navigate through one of the most challenging periods, I think, both emotionally, tactically, and psychologically. And I think that's important. I mean, because I think that brings up this conversation of understanding each other's strengths and weaknesses and that entire concept of the zone of genius.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that you're really great at is being extremely creative and coming up with these amazing ideas, which is, you know, part of what got us the Soul Pancake deal that we'll talk about a little bit later. And one of the things that I probably bring to the table, which you've mentioned to other people, is, you know, more of a long-term thinking, kind of more of a level-headed business approach, which really, I think, balanced out the brand to what it really needed to move forward. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think that there's no question you have an ability to see the future, and you can take a vision and sort of guide it and project manage it, you know, something like the compass. I may have an idea and I may know, you know, how to get people involved and all of that, but I think you have the ability to keep it from just going off the rails and, you know, not getting completely insane, you know, like making sure that I stick within a budget. You know, I remember even in the process of the compass, you know, where we're getting down the road, I said, listen, like, we can't do this thing without artwork. And, you know, we're having questions of, is it really worth it to spend the money on the artwork, or do we have it, or can it be justified? And, you know, and you kind of keep me in check in situations like that. But I think that even a project like that is a really good example of everybody operating within their zone of genius. Yeah, the words are mine. Yes, ultimately, I'm the one who puts the signature on it and says this was written by Srinivas Rao. But if you look at a project like that, you can kind of see how many different people play a role to create our sort of signature that is infused into anything we put out into the world. I mean, you had Sarah do illustrations, Lauren Rains do layout and design and typography, Carolyn Masseri editing to make sure that I, you know, don't misspell 1,000 different things and make horrible grammar errors, which I do constantly. But, you know, and that's the thing I think is really one of the things that doesn't come up a lot in the solo entrepreneurship world is this idea of creative collaboration, because it's called solo entrepreneurship. So, you know, certain people happen to be incredibly skilled at, you know, certain crafts like drawing or, you know, painting or whatever it is. But when you've got somebody like me who has interesting ideas, but doesn't necessarily have the skill or craft in a particular area, that's where collaboration comes in. And I'm still convinced that there is a certain limitation in terms of your capacity if you're working as one individual without any help.
Yeah, I think it's dangerous for people to go out and think they're going to be extremely successful and try to do everything on their own. And I don't know where that comes from, but I think it's been really unhealthy, and it's a pretty prevalent idea out there in the creative space right now. And, you know, let's say you are one of those people who are gifted and talented enough to actually do it all on your own, to do the marketing, to do the optimization, to do the creative work, the negotiations, the strategy. You know, it's probably one of those things that really are your zone of genius. And if you could stick in that, you're going to get the best return on your time in that particular, you know, field, whether it's creativity or strategy or whatever. And I would recommend trying to do the best that anyone can to stick in their true zone of genius.
So let me, you know, add one caveat to that. And this is based on a post that I saw in a Facebook group somewhere where somebody had said, you know, I wish that I could hire a business manager so I could, you know, focus and spend all my time on creating. And I think there's, you know, there's an assumption there that there is an asset to sell and to build a business against.
Right.
And without having built a body of work or an asset that justifies that, I think that you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot. So that there is a period in which you do have to kind of focus on just creating without really thinking about that aspect of it.
Yeah.
You know, you want to have a vision for it in the future, but, you know, if you like, I think you can't have the assumption that there is, you know, you know, I'm going to build this thing and there's nothing there for somebody to sell and assume, yeah, I'm going to put a business manager in place, but I've got nothing to sell.
Certainly. Yeah. And you can't build a team around some, you know, not something that's not really there.
Yeah.
So that's a great point. And I think the reason that, you know, we got into teaching a little bit, which we don't really do on the podcast. I think I've been really passionate about it because I've been a lone ranger at some points in my career, and I found it really helped me back. And it wasn't until I started playing as a team that ended up, you know, getting to that next level. So awesome.
Well, let's actually dive into what it is that we wanted to talk about and why we decided to do this episode, which really is, you know, Soul Pancake. You know, as I mentioned at the beginning of the episode and in the Wednesday episode, we recently launched a new project called Unmistakable Creative Shorts, which is an animated series that is actually based on content from our interviews. And the first episode is actually The Crossroads of Should and Must with El Luna, which was animated by Sarah Steenlin. And she did just an amazing job taking a segment of that story and really bringing it to life in mm-hmm. such a beautiful way. But, you know, one of the things we're going to talk about is where this whole concept came from and how it emerged. You know, I think it was probably November of last year, I had a chance to interview the creative director at Soul Pancake. Excellent interview. We'll link it up in the show notes. Definitely worth listening to. And when we got done talking, one of the conversations that took place was, hey, have you guys done anything, you know, related to animating these interviews? And, I had asked them as well. I said, what do you guys look for when people pitch you on a show? Because this idea had been in our head. I mean, we had a pilot episode put together and nothing to do with it because it was just too expensive and there weren't resources or anything. And, you know, we showed them what we had and they said, yeah, this is definitely, you know, what we're interested in. And so the conversation started. And, you know, what's interesting is that the conversation started, but it took almost 9 months, I think, for it to really mm-hmm. come to fruition. I mean, that conversation took place in November. The first episode aired in September. So there's a lesson there, I think, in bigger projects in that they often take time. They take more time than we want them to actually come to life. And they come with their own unique set of challenges as well. I think that in many ways, I think that it's a good thing that it didn't happen sooner because we weren't really in a position as a team to be able to navigate all of the operational aspects of bringing something like this to life. And, you know, from a creative perspective, I think that where the idea came from for me was, you know, we've got people who tell these really profoundly beautiful stories. What would it look like if we visualize those stories and it turns out really, really fucking cool? Yeah. So, I mean, you've got sort of a different take on this because you really have come into it from a business angle. And I think there's some really interesting lessons there. So I'd like to hear those. I'm sure other people will as well.
Well, first of all, we've taken a unique stand from a business angle. And instead of trying to think about how to make money and then reverse engineering how we're going to make money as a business, you know, you and I we've had a number of just really great heart-to-heart conversations. And one of the things that we've talked about before is we're talking about where are we going as a business. And I shared with you, you know, you create what's in your heart and we'll figure out what to do with it. Yeah. And that's really what ended up happening with the Soul Pancake series is you had this great idea. Sarah put together a beautiful pilot and it turned out to be an amazing piece of work that now what it allows us to do as a business is take us in a new direction, which is multimedia mm-hmm. that we're going to continue to pursue. And that was because, you know, you had a great idea and we followed through on it.
Yeah. No, it's been really cool. I mean, it's been very fun to see, you know, kind of what's materialized. You know, this is the first of 6 episodes. And I mean, the YouTube comments have been nothing but spectacular. Really appreciate all of you who have actually visited, you know, the Soul Pancake YouTube channel and even shared the episode. Let's just put it this way. I think that if you see it, you will feel very compelled to share it. It had this first episode has such an emotional impact on people. I mean, it literally took the most powerful parts of the El Luna interview and brought them to life. And, you know, almost everybody who has seen it has said it's literally reduced them to tears because it's that beautiful. And you know, and we can't take any of the credit for that. Like, you know, that you know, I don't think we deserve credit for it. I mean, Sarah did an amazing job. Elle told a beautiful story, and of course, you know, the audio engineer that Solpanka gave us really isolated, you know, and set it to music in a way that was so profoundly beautiful. So you know, that's the reason we wanted to do this episode. We don't really do these behind the scenes episodes very often. You know, we used to, but you know, we found that this is something, you know, well, we're not doing behind the scenes episodes, but it's worth noting that I am on Periscope, which I know some of you have seen me there. So we do that every Thursday or Tuesday to recap the interviews and talk about them. And that's been a lot of fun. And, you know, a great way to connect with us and get to know us. And then, you know, I think our sort of next big foray into multimedia that Brian and I are sort of tossing around and talking about is a you know, documentary filmmaking. But we'll kind of tease you with that and leave it at that. I don't know if you have anything else to add, Brian.
No, I think that's plenty. So we're really excited to get the next 5 episodes out. Our first run is 6 episodes. The first one's already released. Definitely thank you everyone who's viewed it, who's liked it and shared it. You know, really appreciate that. The next episode, they're airing next Monday. We've got David Van Der Veen, and then followed by Greg Hartle, which you guys should be probably very familiar with. Yeah. And then October, we're starting to air the next round of 3.
Yeah. Well, I think that should do it for everybody listening. As you've heard me say 1,000 times, we'll wrap the show with that.
If you like what you heard, the greatest compliment you could give us is to share the show with a friend and let people know what you think by leaving a review on iTunes. Thanks for listening to The Unmistakable Creative.